Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this festival of St. Mary Magdalene is the gospel lesson which you heard just a moment ago, John chapter 20, focusing on verses 11 through 18. Dear Christian friends, she had been a beautiful young woman. Why she'd fallen into such decadence, who can know? Some say she began to ply her trade after her fiancé was called away to follow the master. Or perhaps she simply succumbed to the temptations of youth and wealth and beauty. Now it didn't matter anymore. For so long now, everything had been different for her. She too had somehow felt the call of her dear Rabboni. She followed him every day thereafter. He had saved her. He had cleansed her of her guilt, of her inner torment. And he had never left her, not even in death. She followed him to the foot of the cross, to the burial, the sealing of the tomb. But even in death, he had not left her. She heard him call her name. She knew that her master was alive. And she became his apostle to the apostles. Years later, she had been banished by those who rejected the Lord, set adrift in a rudderless boat with her brother and sister. By God's providence alone, they had crossed the sea and landed safely in France. There she had preached the gospel to the pagans, converting many. She'd worked miracles, healing the sick, enabling the prince and princess of that region to conceive an heir. Now, during these last days of her life, she had withdrawn to the mountains, to a cave, where she could enjoy the solitude and contemplation of being alone. But every day, she was lifted up to heaven, joining in the saintly choir, and being fed with celestial food. Now, in these last days of her life, she wished but one more blessing: to be translated with the angels to the Abbey of St. Maximin on the day after Easter, there to receive communion from his hand and to die. Wow, that's quite a story, isn't it? But not Mary's. Traditional piety has ascribed to St. Mary Magdalene all of this and much more. But you're not buying that, are you? So then, what is the story of Mary Magdalene? Well, certainly it's not the more bizarre aspects of the medieval legend that Mary was engaged to John, the disciple, when Jesus called him away, that after that miraculous Mediterranean crossing, that Mary then had spent the last 30 years of her life in a cave in the mountains near the Abbey of Valais, France, where her relics were kept for centuries to follow, that Mary daily sang soprano with the angels. That's not the story of Mary Magdalene. Even the conclusions that the medieval church drew concerning Mary from the scriptures themselves are dubious at best. From about 600 AD on, from the time of Gregory the Great, the Western church held that Mary Magdalene was also Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and that Mary Magdalene was the penitent woman who came to Jesus to anoint his feet in Luke chapter 7. The texts really don't support that. Today, even the Catholic Church has, for the most part, dismissed that idea. That probably is not the story of Mary Magdalene. At least, though, the old piety is a good deal kinder to Mary than contemporary impiety. Jesus Christ Superstar, The Last Temptation of Christ. In Godspell, Mary Magdalene is on the stage doing a striptease for Jesus and the disciples. That certainly is not the story of Mary Magdalene. Now, we do know from Scripture that Jesus did drive out 7 demons from Mary. I'm not sure exactly everything that that kind of demon possession may have entailed in Mary's life, but it doesn't necessarily mean, and probably doesn't mean, what so many people attribute to Mary Magdalene, or charge her with being a prostitute. As a matter of fact, I think the logic that reaches that deduction is terribly unfair to Mary, or probably to any woman. I see the logic going something like this. Also in Luke chapter 8, the same chapter in which Luke tells about the 7 demons being driven out of Mary, well, there's a man there too who is possessed by a legion of demons. The man goes about naked, cutting himself with stones. So naturally it follows then that a woman possessed by 7 demons would turn her affliction into a profitable business. I don't think so. No, that's not the story of Mary Magdalene. To set the record straight, the biblical story of Mary Magdalene itself is remarkable enough. Jesus did drive out 7 demons, set her free from demon possession. Mary was one of those women who followed Jesus and the disciples from Galilee, ministering to them and providing for them by her own financial means. Jesus did see her there at the foot of the cross. Mary did accompany those who buried Jesus and saw the tomb sealed. And of course, the true story of Mary Magdalene does have that fabulously happy ending in our gospel this morning. Mary was the first person to see Jesus alive with her own eyes. And then it was Mary Magdalene that Jesus sent as the messenger to go tell his disciples that he was alive. Now that's quite a story. Quite a true story. But you know, even that is not really Mary's story. Perhaps I should say, it's not the real story of Mary Magdalene. What is Mary's real story? What is your story? Is your story the story of someone who has been at one time enslaved, clutched by sin, even by the devil himself? Yes. Maybe you remember some of your own personal particulars, or at least the lingering after effects. Is your story the story of someone who has committed his life and his means to follow, to minister to Jesus? Perhaps. Is your story the story of someone who will convert the nations by the proclamation of the gospel? By God's grace, we pray that it is. Is your story the story of someone who someday will be elevated to heaven? Certainly it is. That's the story of all the saints, isn't it? That's your story. But in another sense, even that isn't your real story. We've all heard plenty of insipid personal testimonies, haven't we? Those aren't the real stories of the saints, are they? Here, according to Jesus, is the real story of Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus says, "Mary, go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." The story of Mary Magdalene is not the story about Mary Magdalene. The real story of Mary Magdalene is the story by Mary Magdalene. It's all in the deep structure, right? Dr. Degner, what are we calling this? An instrumental genitive? The real story of Mary Magdalene is the story that Jesus gave her to tell about himself. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. The emphasis is not on I, but on Lord. Not on her, but on he. The emphasis is not on the teller or even the telling, but on the story told. Mary told her real story. Jesus is the real story of all the saints. I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Jesus casts out demons and calls sinners to himself. Jesus leads his band of followers in ministry. Jesus goes to the cross, dies, is buried. It is Jesus who appears alive to his people. It is Jesus who calls his own by name. It is Jesus who promises the Holy Spirit to convert the nations. And because Jesus has done all this for you and me, his ascension is truly to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. Jesus' death and resurrection has reconciled us to God. It has reestablished that beautiful relationship of a father to his children. Because of Jesus, Mary Magdalene is remembered as a great woman of God. Because of Jesus, God calls us his own. Because of Jesus, we are all saints. All saints with a story. A story to tell. Amen. We rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.